Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to listeners of Tune Trade Islam International. We welcome you once again to the car program. And yes, it is the Revitive Car program with our guests Abdul Haq Qatada and Adil Mia. Engineer for the program is our good friend, brother Usama, always smiling. Al-Haq Allah, Sinnak Allah, keep you always smiling, my brother. Jazakum Allah. Alright, we'd like to welcome brother Adil and Abdul Haq Qatada on the car program. Abdul Haq, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi to you firstly, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Mawlana. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to all our listeners out there. Jazakum Allah khairan once again, Mawlana, for the opportunity to be able to try and assist the Ummah, inshaAllah. And to our listeners out there, Jazakumullahu khairan for you to tune into the program. It is obviously, as we mentioned, always your program. Inshallah, we will be hearing from you, you know, with all your questions, your problems, whatever you have, inshallah. I see Morana Kara has got his book here. We can give you plus minus what trade values, everything. And alhamdulillah, my technical guru, Brother Adil, is sitting next to me here. Inshallah, I don't see we should have any problems. We'll do our best to answer all your questions. So please don't feel shy. Don't phone us. Don't phone us on the program.
JazakAllah. Adil, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, your good brother.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Adil looks like he's in a weekend mood. He's in a fishing mood.
He's ready for the fishing mood. You're welcome to all our listeners. Inshallah, they have all the questions. Like Abdullah said, give us a call for all your motoring needs. Inshallah, we'll try and assist you in any way we can.
Ameen, JazakAllah. Looking forward to the next 45, 50 minutes spending in your guys' company. All right, reports coming through as well that I'm sure we heard regarding the casualties reported after a crane caved in as a result of strong winds at the Haram Sharif. And reports coming through from abroad stating that, you know, the updates saying that both the first and the second floor of the Waf rings have been closed. Yes, a crane did fall over during the storm, and somebody said it fell across the Safa and Marwa building, and a portion of the crane you know, ended up on the roof. Allahu alam, there has been casualties. I'm not going to mention how many. Let's wait for confirmation. And there was also, we believe, you know, hail during the storm. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant ease and afiat, inshallah. So as we get more information, we will keep you updated on Radio Islam International. All right, the car program, Genesis. It's your phone-in program. Any questions you have with regards to your car, maintenance, fixing up, you want some trade value, some help, some advices, give us a call. We have really the experts here, Adil Mia and Hakatara. Give us a call. The number to call for the car program, it's 011-854-1548. 011-854-1548. And the SMS number is 082-580-8070, alternately 48855. Alright, we're waiting for the SMSs and the questions. Keep them rolling, Jim. Alright, brothers, the first question coming through. Adil, this question coming through from a brother. He says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. He wants some advice with regards to car maintenance. He's got an SUV. He's asking, how often should I have... Okay, let's take up a call. We have a call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you people doing?
Alhamdulillah. Hi, my good brother.
Alhamdulillah, shukr. 3 years is in life. Sabr, shukr, and keep smiling, you know.
See, definitely. Allah keep us all smiling, my brother. Amen. Very, very important.
Okay, just to know something, how is a Honda Ballad automatic? I'm just looking at something like a Honda Ballad, a medium-sized car that has got a bit of power, roomy.
Abdullah is smiling, so you can ask your question.
Abdul Haq's favorite car, but which kind of a Honda? The late models, early models?
No, I think it's a 2014, 2015. Is there any difference or something, or should I look at a demo or what?
Alright, so I can see you got money, G.
Yeah, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, shukr, you have the money.
Lucky wa barakat. I mean, Abdul Haq.
Yeah, alhamdulillah, these Hondas, alhamdulillah, they're fantastic little vehicles, phenomenal performance, you know, they're generally all around very, very, very good vehicles. Obviously, the thing comes in, what purpose do you need it for, you know? Obviously, if you're looking at something around, running around town or something like that, they have the 1400 as well as the 1500 in there, if I'm not mistaken, on the 2014s. But yeah, if you're looking at the long distance and something more speed-wise, things like that, and you're looking at the 1.8 XLI, those are very, very nice. Yeah, you can also go for a demo. There's no problem with the demos. Okay. But yeah, alhamdulillah, they've been.
Something?
Sorry.
I'm specifically looking at the Honda Ballad. Maybe if it's not only for long distance, it's going to be for everyday use. But sometimes if you need to go to Cape Town, you need to go to Cape Town, what I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
But I just want to know only one point. Apparently the new ones are 1.5.
Yes, yes, yes.
The CVT automatic. I'm not too sure how is this gearboxes. And I mean, between a Chev Sonic automatic and a Honda Ballad, I mean, what would you go for?
More I know you're laughing now. But more seriously, I mean, genuinely, I think that I'm not condemning any sort of product or anything like that, but obviously the more reliable one has always been the Honda. Even with their auto boxes, they have definitely improved on those auto boxes of theirs.
All right.
And there's a lot of electronics involved in those gearboxes. They've involved electronics on the gearboxes long before most of the other guys have been involved.
All right.
And more definitely, I would look at the Honda as far as economy, reliability, handling, everything. It's outstanding. Yeah.
What price can I pay for a 2014 auto if I have to look at one?
I think we'll have to check that up for you. I can't tell you offhand right now.
No problem.
What is it, 2014, the Ballard, eh?
Yeah,
inshallah.
Ballard. Apparently it's like a new shape or something.
Yeah. Inshallah, if you keep listening, I'm sure Maulana will be able to assist us with that, with his little kitab here.
No problem.
And jazakallah for the call, my brother.
Jazakallah.
Inshallah, Allah make it easy for you to choose a vehicle, and wherever you go with
Allah
the vehicle, Allah keep you safe.
Allah make it easy for you to choose a vehicle and a wife as well.
Allah give you barakat. Alright, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. What did the brother say about the wife? Alright, takbirin here. Anyway, 7:15 PM, give us a call on the number 011-854-1548, SMS numbers 48855 and 0825-8080-70. She'll be talking cars tonight, inshallah. Alright, the brother wants to know that it says, Adi, the question, I think we can direct this question to you. How often should one have a routine maintenance performed? He's got a SUV. It doesn't say what SUV, but how often should he have a routine maintenance performed? 10,000, 15,000, 20,000?
Most of the later model vehicles all have an onboard computer service indicator, so basically the vehicle will tell you when the maintenance is required. But it's advisable that at least once a year, before going on a long trip, or at least once a year, make it like every year to take the car in to just have the basic things checked, like the brakes, for oil levels, the fan belts, and all the electrical lights, indicators, all that are work in order. That's the safest way.
Okay, jazakumallah. Abdul Haq, question, my brother. It says, I own a 2006 Mazda 3. Lovely cars, eh, brothers?
Yeah, underrated, I think.
Underrated, eh?
Yeah.
All right. I own a 2006 Mazda 3. How can I increase its ground clearance? Where do you want to fly to, my brother? The car scrapes the ground when traversing speed humps. It's fitted with 205s, 55, 16s. Okay, it's got a problem here.
Gee, Murana, definitely there is a problem. Obviously, you can alter the height of the vehicle.
Okay.
But it's not without consequence, you know. If you look at it, you know, it's actually almost impossible to increase the ground clearance without negative side effects, you know. By upping the tire size, you know, maybe the circumference, you're obviously going to affect, first of all, the calibration on the speedometer itself, the gearing of the vehicle. You know, you'll also have interference between, for example, the tire, the bodywork, not in all the cases, but sometimes. And what's more, by raising the suspension, you know, for example, if you put in longer coil springs or stiffer coil springs, or you put in bigger spaces, the worst thing you can do there is, you know, to alter the vehicle's handling and obviously the safety characteristics. You know, these words seem to sometimes, you know, it's a tongue problem. You know, you can alter all these things, and that can become a bit of a problem. So I would suggest, you know, maybe if your exhaust has dropped a little bit or whatever the case may be, have a look at the exhaust. You know, how is it situated? If it's correctly fitted, if it's in its correct grooving, as well as the you know, what we call the exhaust hangers are all in order. They haven't been broken off or anything like that. You know, raising and dropping the vehicle heights, you know, ask the youngsters today what happens, you know, you actually shorten the lifespan of shocks and wheel bearings, and you can affect a lot of things. So I wouldn't suggest that you actually go and, try and alter the height of the vehicle with tires and coil springs and things like that. Obviously, there has been a lot of money put into research before the vehicle is actually manufactured. And yeah, by altering all that, you're going to alter all your specifications.
All right, jazakumallah. All right, we spoke about the crane coming down in the Haram Sharif and reports coming through. According to News24.com, they're mentioning that at least 62 people were killed when this crane crashed at the Haram Sharif there. And, you know, there's pictures circulating on social media showing the Hujjaj Ikram in the Harams all over, masses of debris all over, and it seemed to have crashed through the ceiling here. So at least reports coming through, 62 people have lost their lives. Allah Ta'ala grant them, they have become shuhada. SubhanAllah. In the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the Haram Sharif, the days of Hajj. 20 past 7. Adil, maybe you can help us on this question, brother. It says here, the brother sends a photo, Maulana sends a photo here. It's a Toyota Verso. Why this is on and what is the solution? It's a Toyota Verso 2005. It says TRC of VSC. Adil, you can have a look at the photo. It's a Toyota Verso 2005 model.
TRC could be from the traction.
Yeah, traction. That's to do with the traction and the ABS system. So basically, either he has a fault with the traction system, that's why he's putting the light on. That's the most common thing. So basically, he has to run a diagnostic test and see and read the fault and probably pick up what the fault is reading. Most of the time is a sensor problem, or if he just had tires fitted, even if you fit the wrong tires to the car,
is it?
Like bigger ones in front and smaller ones in the back, you're going to have that problem. So the easiest way out of that is to do a diagnostic test, read the fault and then take it from there.
But not a serious problem.
No, if he drives a car like that, he's just going to have normal brakes like a normal car. You won't have all the extra ABS and ESP and stability program and things like
that.
The other thing that would be appreciated, if Maulana could just send us an SMS or whatever it is, telling us what sort of symptoms is he having with the vehicle itself. Because obviously, you know, some of them got the other gearbox in the Toyota Versos, where you can drive them like a manual or you can drive them as an automatic. Mm. And there is a bit of a problem with those particular gearbox.
I had biryani at this Molina's house. I tell you, one of the best biryanis I've ever ate in my life.
Yeah, but that's why it's got traction control problem. Because it's too heavy for the car now.
Question, Abdulhaq, this one for you, my brother. Heart starting TDI. It says I drive a 2008 Volkswagen Polo 1.9 TDI. The car treated me very, very well, and I've done 276,000 kilos with only a few minor niggles. However, a starting problem cropped up about 6 months ago. The brother says, well, what the problem is that when he starts the car from cold, he turns on the ignition of the hack, waits for the glow plug light to extinguish, and then proceeds now to start the engine. And it then dies almost instantly. So what is the problem here?
It's
a long story, but I just...
I can see it sounds like a long story that you're talking about here. But inshallah, let's see how we can assist you. You say 1.9 TDI, Maulana. Sure. Right. First of all, you know, to start a diesel engine, you need real good compression. And the other thing that is very, very imperative or important is that you have a... correct amount of well atomized fuel, because diesel does not have spark plugs, you know. They have just what we call glow plugs, which just warm up the cylinder.
Just a question before you start off a diesel car, you've got to keep the ignition on for a few seconds, Adil?
Keep it on for a few seconds to heat up the chamber to start the engine.
About 10 seconds good enough?
Most of them have a heat plug light, so when the light comes on and it goes off, you can start the car immediately.
It looks like it's a yellow light that looks like a coil spring.
Okay.
And that is the light, actually, your glow plug light. Getting on with this thing, obviously we're going to assume that the car runs fine after you've started it up. So obviously, you know, that would now cut out all the sensors and, you know, all those sort of wiring faulty issues. But nonetheless, you know, you should actually, first of all, have the diagnostics check done. And thereafter, you know, we can go further. Coming to what we were talking about, the glow plugs, they only become active when the temperature drops below about 10 degrees or so, you know, we're talking Celsius, 10 degrees Celsius. So, you know, it's a very, very small chance that you have the problem with your glow plugs itself. The main culprit, what I would think of is, you know, because of the mileage of the vehicle, I would also propose, you know, very importantly, brother, I think I stand to correction, but compression. Because of, you know, over 200,000 kilometers on there, I would look at, you know, compression. Thereafter, you know, you investigate the fueling system, you know, these sort of things. And obviously the other very important thing is the injectors. As far as the diesel is concerned, you make sure that you have the correct fuel pressure and, you know, look at the injectors, spray pattern, all those things. The other guys is specialized, you know, with the flow test to the injectors on the bench. You can have that done. It might be also a problem. Or it could be dirty injectors. Simply need to clean everything. Worst case scenario, one injectors. But I wouldn't jump to this conclusion, you know, before doing all the other tests. You know, for example, like we said, your compression. Those are the more important things I would look at before I would go to injectors and everything else. Because obviously, Adil, I think I stayed the correction, but they cost a good few rand, those injectors, to do the diesel injectors especially. So yeah, I would do all the tests first, diagnostics. If I don't find anything in diagnostics, I would go to compression. If I didn't get anything there, then obviously we would look further as far as the injectors and the other things are concerned.
Okay. 7:25 p.m. 854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS number for the program, 0825-808070, and alternately 48855. All right. Okay, this question, the brother says it's not too clear. I'm going to try and get this question clear here. Okay. Yeah. All right, anyway, we'll come back to the question. Somebody asking here regarding a Mazda 3. We spoke about it earlier. What the price is going for, brother? Just an estimation, Mazda 3 1.6, the Sport, the original, the Sport Active 2006 model, the book value should be about 52,000 rands. About 52,000 rands, that is the book value for a Mazda 3. But also, I mean, the guys are paying much, much more for these. What can you buy for 50 grand? The 098 Mazdas are selling for about 32, you know.
But the Mazdas are generally good vehicle, Mona.
Lovely cars.
Yeah. Lovely cars. I actually, Mona, I don't know if you had any idea if we recall what we had to check the price on the 2014 Honda. I don't know if you have that in mind. The other thing that someone else is looking for is trade value on a 2006 X3 BMW 2-liter diesel manual. The X3 2-liter diesel.
Yeah.
A manual. It's got
okay.
It's got about 200,000 on the clock. What sort of you know, price range are we looking at that as far as the trade values are concerned? If you have any idea, Mona.
We'll check it out just now, inshallah. All right. Anyway, 27 minutes past 7 o'clock. Call on the line. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Alhamdulillah, my brother.
Alhamdulillah, thanks. Well, there's not about any comments about the car. I just wanted Maulana to please have a look if you get a chance on News 24.
Yeah.
There's some very, very vicious comments going on regarding the crane falling in Mecca. And if Radio Islam can just inform the broader Muslim public not to lower themselves and respond to these unethical, uncouth people. It's too sad to even talk about it. If you can just read the comments on News 24 that they are writing, and let's inform our broader Muslim public and community brothers and sisters not to lower ourselves and respond to this.
Okay. I'm going to have a look at it later, inshallah. Brother, we will comment on this later, inshallah. Jazakallah so much for your concern.
Jazakallah,
brother. Allah reward you. All right, so like I mentioned earlier, just, you know, regarding the updates coming from Makam Mukarrama, at least 62 people have been confirmed to have been made shaheed when the crane crashed in the Haram Sharif today. And regarding this, we find that a lot of pictures circulating on social media. The brothers saying also a lot of messages. They haven't seen the messages. But anyway, I've seen the photos showing the Hujjaj Karam in bloodied, you know, kurtas, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant afia to them, inshallah. Alright, so let's take it further. Number to call for the car program, 854-1548. Alright, news coming through. 65 people have now been confirmed. Jazakallah malam abam. 854-1548, the SMS number 0825-8870, and also 48855G. I have a question coming through here, my brother. It says, what is the EGR valve and what is the function of the EGR valve?
The EGR valve is the exhaust gas recirculation valve. Mostly works on exhaust gas, basically, yeah, to heat up the inlet manifold quicker, so you can get easy starting, mostly on diesel cars, and also on some petrol cars you get an EGR valve. So basically the most, I don't want to go in a long story about an EGR valve, so basically the bottom line is the EGR valve is the exhaust gas recirculation valve. So what it does is the exhaust gas recirculates to the inlet manifold and heats up the manifold, so you can have easy starting and have more better fuel efficiency. So you're basically reusing the gas for fuel efficiency and easier starting for the combustion engine.
Lovely. All right, it's now time for the quiz, brothers. 29 minutes past 7 o'clock. We're going to ask Adil to pose a question, inshallah. Adil, how many questions do you have for us today, my brother? Two. Alright, so this is how the format's going to work for today, inshallah. You call us, give us, we're going to pose the first question. Adi is going to pose the first question. You give us code, inshallah, you answer the question. The one who answers correctly goes on to answer the second question. And if you answer the second question properly and correctly, inshallah, you're going to be getting a lovely prize tonight. Alright, Adi, you're going to go ahead, my brother. What's the question?
Simona, the questions will be related to
cars.
To cars, not only cars, it will be related to the Revita program. So basically, if you were paying attention and listening to the Revita program, then you'll be deserving of the prize. I think the prize is, I don't know if you're going to mention the prize right now or whatever it is. So
it will be a surprise, inshallah.
The first question is, 2 weeks ago we featured a vehicle on our Revita program. So the first question is, what was the vehicle we featured? And what is the different models that the vehicle comes in?
All right, this is the first question.
All right.
Lovely. The vehicle that we spoke about last week.
Not last week, 2 weeks.
Sorry, 2 weeks ago. And
what was the vehicle we featured 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
So we need to know the name of the vehicle.
Yeah.
Right?
As well,
and the same vehicle, what are the different models that the vehicle comes in?
You're a sharp guy, Adil. Jazakallah.
if you go listening to the program, it's going to be easy for you. So no one can go to Google and get the answer. And no one
because
can
there's
go
no
to
Google for that.
Exactly. So basically, if you are listening to our program, so this will even give us an idea
of who's listening and who's not listening. But you know, 9 out of 10, Abakala will answer that question because Abakala is always listening.
She can get the prize.
Yeah, right. No, alhamdulillah. You know, I'm actually eager myself to hear what the prize is.
Right.
But inshallah, Molana will let the cat out the box just now.
Let's take this question, brothers. Number to call for the course, like Brother Adil said, what car was featured 2 weeks ago? Alright, that is the first question, and also added to the first question is, what were the different models of this car? We did speak about it, I remember. Alright, and no Tata Machans. Give us a call in 854-1548, waiting for the calls, inshallah. Just give it a try. The brother asked a question, Adil, he recently brought, the question came in like 4 SMSs here. I'm going to try to make it into one. I recently bought a new BMW and have a problem with the sound coming from the tyres. It has a whoop whoop. No, we're not talking dogs here. It has a whoop whoop sound. It says, the faster I drive, the louder the sound. The whoop whoop goes louder. Please advise what could be the problem. Madin Jazak last
week. The brother definitely from the whoop whoop sound. Very, very common on a flat spot on a tire. So basically, the brother has got a flat spot on a tire or he's got a bubble on a tire. So maybe just take an inspection on the tires and check the tires for run out. The best way is to take it to a tire fitment center. They'll remove the tire, put on a balancing machine, and then you check every tire, the circular movement of the tire. If the tire that's a culprit of making a whoop of noise, you'll see it will move like in an egg shape. So it will move like oblongly. And it will pick up his problem and sort his problem out, inshallah.
JazakAllah.
Just coming back to that question, Mulana, was it a relatively new car?
Yeah, I think so.
If it's a relatively new car, Adil, I think maybe we suggest we go and see the dealership where he bought it from first.
Yeah.
Because unless if the car came out with a faulty tire or something like
that. No, it's definitely a tire problem.
Yeah, it's definitely a tire problem, yeah. No, alhamdulillah, but my advice is just in the sense that maybe just pop in at the dealership where you bought the vehicle from, and if they have supplied you a faulty tire, then obviously they can take up the headache and do it for you on your behalf, inshallah. But if not, then I think Brother Adil is 100% perfect in saying that, you know, go to a tire place.
JazakAllah. Abdul Haq, we've heard lovely about the DSG. It's lovely. It's in daily use as well. The brother wants to know, here's why he wants to buy. He's interested in buying a Golf with the DSG box. It liked your guys' unbiased opinion on the reliability of the transmission. We know that it's a lovely gearbox, mashallah, but there are more parts that can go wrong with the DSG than a manned unit. And I think these failures can be potentially very, very costly.
I think we have lots of times, you know, people are asking about the DSG gearbox. Obviously, like Mulana, you mentioned it already, the DSG is a lovely gearbox. Obviously, if you're in daily use, you know, but however, if you look at it from a theoretical point, there's so many parts, like you said, there's so many parts in the DSG, so many more parts in the DSG compared to your manual unit, and obviously the potential failures in the DSG, like you said, are much more expensive. But given the amount of DSGs, in use on our roads, I'm sure they have definitely improved on whatever they're supposed to have improved, you know. I'm not going to sit here and cry wolf about the DSG with these problems.
you know, until obviously I get the proper proof of the frequent failures, you know, when we talk about frequent failures, we're not talking about the driver abuse, you know, first of all. Secondly, like Adil always mentions, that very, very importantly, the oil in the transmission should be replaced on its proper servicing schedule. Also, again, you know, at the end of the day, it depends on the buyer profile. You know, if you plan to keeping the vehicle for an extended period of time, then I would suggest, personally, this again, my personal opinion, is to take a manual. But if however you keep the vehicle only till the maintenance plan is going to be there, and once that is over, you really want to get the risk of rid of the vehicle. Then yeah, I would say look at the DSG box for that period of time, because if there's anything that can go wrong, it most of the things would be covered by your motor plan or your warranty period. But if you want to keep it beyond that, my personal opinion again is a manual gearbox compared to your DSG.
What's up? Just quickly for the listeners to understand,
Chadio,
what is DSG?
I was going to ask you for more information on the DSG.
The DSG is basically the direct shift gearbox, commonly known as DSG. So what it has, it's an electronically controlled dual clutch system they have in the gearbox. So it's basically in a transaxle design. It doesn't have a conventional clutch pedal. It's fully automatic with a semi-manual control. So basically a DSG is the fastest changing gearbox in the world.
Yes.
So if you want to change the gears quickly, you buy a DSG.
What
it's an amazing gearbox. It works beautifully. Ask the listeners or anyone who drives a DSG. It's a fun thing to drive. But the most common problem is the mechatronics that's in the gearbox that gives a lot of problems.
If something goes wrong there, what amounts are we looking at?
We're looking at between 25,000 to 30,000 rand to fix the mechatronics. That's a common thing that goes wrong.
Yeah.
But if it works, it works like a beauty. It's fun. It's really enjoyable to drive the DSG.
So
this is a quick explanation to the listeners to understand what a DSG is about.
854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS numbers are 0825-80-8070 and 488-75. I'm going to ask you one more question. With regards to the RMI, how do they work and what are they, sir?
Shimarana, the RMI is a retail motor industry that is the governing motor industry body in our country, which actually borders the ground of fair trade in our countries for workshops, motor spares, panel beaters, anything to do with the motor industry, they are involved. So basically for customers out there, for workers out there, for anything to do with the motor industry, they have different departments to handle any of your query. So basically also advisable for all the listeners out there that if you're taking your vehicle for a repair or a service, make sure the RMI accredited. So basically you'll have a fair trade. So basically if you have a problem with the technician or with the motor vehicle service center, you can actually lodge a complaint to these people, which will they fairly and amicably come to a conclusion on how to rectify your problem you have addressed. Even the same way with the customer, the same way with the buyer or seller of a motor vehicle. So basically that is how they work. It's a body that's been in there for a good couple of years. I think from the early 70s they've been around doing this program. So basically you become a member of the RMI and you abide by a conduct that they give all the different retailers out there.
Yeah, no, Adil, it is rather noticeable that the people are definitely calling in and, you know, the first question is, are you RMI affiliated or not? The other thing that is also very, very noticeable is if you buy all these aftermarket motor plans and things like that, those companies rather very particular with something like that. They want you to be RMI. Mm-hmm. If not, then obviously they will not even send their work to you. So, yeah, it is advisable to look at this sort of thing.
Yeah, there is a few requirements that you'll have to go to before you can be RMI approved. They come out there, they inspect your workshop. There's a few things you'll have to have in your workshop. There's a few things that you'll have to do in the workshop. There's a few things that you'll have to adhere to before they can make you a part of the RMI. But it's not very difficult. It is easy. So, basically, it's a safeguard to all the motorists out there who want peace of mind when servicing their vehicles.
The other thing, Adil, just for those workshops, for the benefit of those workshops out there who really want to be RMI registered and things like that, what sort of cost factor and things, you know, is
the
it
cost
yearly
factor
thing?
It's a yearly fee that you have to pay. Normally ranges between, for different size workshops, it's different prices, but like for medium size workshops to larger workshops, it can start from about 6,000 to 8,000 a year to pay the membership fee.
7:39 p.m. So you'll be waiting for the answers to the question Brother Ardin and Mia posed earlier. What car was featured 2 weeks ago on the Revitav Car program? It was about this time. What car was featured on the Revitav Car program this time? Yes, SMSs are not going to work. It wasn't a Mercedes-Benz. It was a Mercedes-Benz. All right, give them a tip. It was a Mercedes-Benz. But which one? Which car, which Mercedes-Benz was featured? All right, anyway.
And Molana doesn't own one of those, eh?
Gee.
So don't look at Molana's card and answer the question, eh?
And it was the different models. Ariel spoke about the different models of this featured car 2 weeks ago. What are the different models and what car was featured? The clue we gave you is that Abdul Haq, it is a Mercedes-Benz.
Gee.
Okay.
Yeah, but alhamdulillah, what Brother Adil, you know, as far as the Mercedes are concerned, you know, he's the fundi, you know what I'm saying?
He's the fundi. 854-1548 is the number to call. 011-854-1548 is the number to call for the quiz, inshallah, and also for your questions. Question coming through with regards to a discolored coolant. Should the coolant color ever change? What happens if the color changes to brown? It's normally green, he says, it changes to brown.
This green that it changes to brown is very, very simple. you've got a mess in your radiator.
Radiator.
Mess in your radiator, you're either filling up water at the Vaal Dam or Vaal River. But if you go to Wood Bank, the water is much cleaner there, Molana. The Wood Dam also, the water is cleaner. If you fill up there, you'll be quite okay with that. So yeah, when something like that appears or crops up, then obviously you got to have the flush done on your cooling system. Yeah, unfortunately today it's not as simple as the previously where you had your do it yourself, you know, did this, that and the other. You took out the thermostat, you ran the engine and you replaced the coolant, you know, or you flushed the system out, you replaced the coolant and you put in the proper percentage. Ariel, what's it? 3 to 1.
40-60.
40-60 ratio. That should be the correct ratio that you should use the antifreeze in. And obviously the other thing, the antifreeze lifespan has definitely increased a little bit. You know, before it was every 2-3 years. Now I think it's gone to 4-5 years, Ariel.
Four to five years
where you replace the coolant in the system, obviously using the correct coolant. But I won't suggest anymore with the newer vehicles that you try and do it as a do-it-yourself issue now. Well, I think we've got a call online.
Gee, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Hello.
Hello, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alhamdulillah, my brother.
Alhamdulillah. The answer we wanted for that Mercedes?
G.
AMG 63.
AMG 63, my brother?
G.
You're taking a Tatama chance now.
You never listen to the program.
AMG 63. Toyota or Mazda AMG?
No, the Mercedes.
Oh, the Mercedes, sorry. Oh, no, my brother, it's not the AMG 63. Adil, am I right? It's not.
So you need to know the vehicle we featured. It is a Mercedes, you got it that right. But which Mercedes and which models does it come in? It comes in 3 models.
Hey, you got another tip going.
Yeah, so we're giving you 2 tips now. It is a Mercedes, we need to know which Mercedes we featured, and it comes in 3 models. We need to know the 3 models. To give you a tip, one model is a 63, but there is a 63 AMG involved in one of the models.
All right.
Okay. Too many tips, man. Tell me what the price.
It's easier for them. Like,
maybe I can answer the question and I can get a price, man.
Well, not mentioning a price because then people are going to make extra effort.
For those who are making a little effort, they'll get a big reward, man.
That's right.
Yeah, chalo, inshallah. Jazakallah, brother, for trying there. But inshallah, I'm sure there's somebody out there who has been listening to our program. And I'm sure Brother Adil always picks very special vehicles. And unfortunately, or should I say fortunately for us, the way Brother Adil worked this one out, Molana, is you can't use Google. So, yeah.
I don't know if our radio program is on Google. Maybe it is.
I doubt it very much, eh?
7:44 p.m. Give us a call. Which car was featured 2 weeks ago? It's a Mercedes-Benz. What are the different models that Adil spoke about here? I think with regards to the different types of the coolants, you spoke a few minutes ago about the coolants. Can I ask you, my brother, which ones are better than the other ones? You get the conventional green coolant or the antifreeze, then you get those Dex cool ones. What's a better option?
See, Mosa, you see the main thing behind the coolant is the glycol. The glycol makes the main ingredient in the coolant. So basically, if you get a good quality coolant, there's different brands of coolant out there. So basically, you get a green color one, you get a clear color one, and you get a blue color one. Those are the main three common ones that you find in the vehicles.
But I think the cutest looking one is the pink one.
Yeah, you get, yeah, I even saw a pink one. Yeah. So basically, it doesn't really matter which brand you get. The main thing is when you buy in the brand, make sure it's approved by the SABS in our country, or the EISFO or something like that, and make sure it's been tested and tried and tested. This isn't going to buy anyone because it can cause detrimental effect to your cooling system.
Just talking about that, they tend to have the ISO number on the bottle, so that's also another thing to look out for.
A lot of times what happens is that, you don't put any coolant in your car, in your vehicle. I don't know if you had an experience like this, and as soon as your car goes in for a service, and they flush the system and they put coolant in, and 2 weeks later you back, the water pump starts leaking. You see, that is why, because the glycol content in the coolant that eats up the seals for not having coolant. So that's why important is to always check that you have coolant.
Okay, 7:45 PM. Ali, with regards, Abdul Haq, with regards to the gearbox transmission, the oil. One brother, I remember, he's got a 1994, he's got a one-owner car, a 1994 Toyota Corolla, and according to him, he doesn't remember that the gearbox oil was ever changed.
Automatic?
From 1994, it's a manual.
Manual. Gee, Molana, look, back
in
the
day... Is it necessary to change the
gearbox? I would suggest, obviously, but I'm sure he must be experiencing some sort of gear shift difficulty. What happens is, if you don't replace the oil loses viscosity and properties and everything else, and it doesn't tend to lubricate as well as it should. You could either end up with a whine on the bearing or whatever the case may be. Alhamdulillah, he is fortunate enough not to have any problems with the gearbox itself. But if I recall correctly, Adil, I stand to correction, is that all the manual gearboxes also now take the ATF oil, the automatic transmission fluid, simply for a smoother shift and a better lubrication on the gearbox. I think I did one about last week or the week before. Somebody came to me and he said to me, this gear shift is very, very difficult. And obviously he had taken it to someone who didn't know better, and the guy put what we used to put back in the day, EP90 was a very, very strong oil which was used in differentials for quietness and everything else. But when it came to gear shift, the EP90 oil was rather too thick and altered the spacing between the gears and the shifting shift levers and things like that, and with the result you had what we call a sticky or a difficult gear shift. Very, very important, I suggest, no matter what it is, under what circumstances or conditions, those oils should be replaced on a regular basis. They might not appear, especially on the older vehicles, they don't appear on the service schedule, but I look at the front wheel drives and I look at them more at between 40 and 60,000 kilometers, where I like to replace the gearbox oil.
Good idea. It's very important to replace the gearbox oil. A lot of the motor manufacturers say that the gearbox oil has a lifetime oil in it, and it's not advisable, it's not necessary to change, but I feel it is that you change, especially in automatic transmission. Rather change it and be safe. But also the scary thing is when the car comes out the motor plane and it comes into the service to your workshop or to any technician, and if they decide to change the gearbox oil, and then Murphy's Law works like it, then after you just change the gearbox oil, a month later, the gearbox packs up. So I don't know. After this lift oil.
No, but you know what? Unfortunately, brother, this makes it easier for the client. You just come in and say, since you changed my oil, my gearbox is gone. It's a rather catch-22 situation. Yeah. But obviously, I would suggest, giving some advice to the client when he comes in and say, listen, guys, you know what? This is what I normally would do. If something happens thereafter, unfortunately, I don't accept any responsibility, unfortunately, because it's not me who goes inside the gearbox. It's actually the oil that goes inside the gearbox.
All right, 7:48 PM. We have limited time, inshallah, maybe about 5 minutes before we run up the program. 7:49 PM, 854-1548 is the number to call. The SMS numbers again, 488-55 and 082-580-8070. And Mama Jeremy asked a question earlier regarding the quiz, inshallah, it's been sponsored by MYM Auto World. So thank you for the sponsorship. The question Brother Adil Mia is asking that is, which car was featured 2 weeks ago? Which car was featured on Radio Islam 2 weeks ago? And also, we gave you a clue, it is a Mercedes-Benz. And also added to that question is the different models of that car. Adil, a question for you, my brother, talking about Mercedes-Benz. The brother says, I currently own a Mercedes-Benz C200 compressor and I wanted to upgrade to the latest C250 until I discovered that the new C-Class does not feature a spare wheel. Adil, I don't know what's your comments. Living in South Africa, isn't this a total disqualification? I mean, many would say that they just refuse to own and drive a car in South Africa that has no spare wheel, respect of the status of the car. I know these ones have this run flat tires, Adil, am I correct? But what happens if you're sitting somewhere, for example, in places like the R? Like, I remember a brother who was saying that, you know, in Drakensberg, they lost a tire. He had to wait 5 days for a car, for a tire to come from Johannesburg to that part of the world. Your comments, Adil?
Jim, well, no, it's a very touchy subject, and I totally disagree with the motor manufacturers. It's not only Mercedes-Benz, it's most of the German car buyers, I mean sellers, which you are 100% correct. They did away with the spare wheel and they give you run flat tires. That means if you have a puncture, you can limp your way on a run flat tire to your nearest service station or your nearest tire dealer and get another run flat tire. Like what the brother said, if you're stuck somewhere in Dar or in a Drakensberg, most of the tire dealers don't stock run flat tires because it's so expensive to replace run flat tires.
That's the next question I was going
to
ask you.
And then to have a run flat tire fitted to your car, they don't have the right size. I think stick to the spare wheel route. It worked wonders over all the years. People never complained. It done its job. Stick to it. I don't know how much money the motor manufacturers are going to save and how much space saving they're going to do on the run flats. I totally disagree, and I'm with this brother who actually is against run flats, and I'm also totally against it. In the olden days also, the Honda introduced the Murray Biscuit flat spare wheel. You know, it's a little small spare wheel that you could change on your car. My question to them was, fair enough, you put a run flat, a small Murray Biscuit spare from your boot, where are you going to put the big tire when you need to put the...
But obviously you're going to take the tire off to put the tire off.
Exactly. So where do you put your big tire when you're coming home on holiday, when you take your Murray Biscuit off? You say because the big tire won't fit where the Murray Biscuit came out.
100%.
So that also didn't make sense to me, but anyway, that's how they designed the car, and that's how it is. It's not actually up to every individual to decide which way he wants to go.
Yeah, but you know, obviously the other thing is, I don't know, what is also disappointing is they haven't left much space for you to buy an extra run flat and take it with you on holiday.
Exactly.
And that is why I also find, you know, it's rather inconvenient and difficult. Like you said, there are, you know, even Colesburg, you probably won't get a spare tire.
Yeah, you must remember the run flat will only work if you have a slight puncture or you have a cut in the tire. If your tire is totally wrecked,
shredded.
Like if it's shredded, what are you going to do? There's
nothing you can do.
You just have to wait for the tire to come. That is the scary.
Yeah. And hope for a farmer living nearby to be kind.
All right, JazakAllah, my brothers. How's this one? Yes, Adil, I'm looking at this one magazine here. It says, who said the car business is stressful? And it says, I'm 29 and I feel great. But what if there's a photo of a man who looks like he's about 79? And there is some lovely ones coming through. 7:52 p.m. Quite a few SMSs coming through regarding the answers, Adil. But SMSs, like I said earlier,
don't.
Not accepted. Okay, it's not accepted. We'll have to just leave it at that. 7:54 p.m. We conclude the program, inshallah, brothers. Final remarks, Abdul Haq.
JazakAllah, Mawlana. Alhamdulillah, it is a fantastic program. We've been a full house today. We've been happy to be back, alhamdulillah. And to all our listeners out there, to all those people who have sent those SMSs regarding the questions, not with the quiz, but with the other questions, alhamdulillah, we really appreciate your input into this program, which is obviously your program, not our program. And for all those who have been phone shy to give us a call regarding the quiz, unfortunately, you lost out on some grand prize. Maulana was, he's telling us very quietly. I'm not allowed to tell you. But inshallah, next week, somebody should come up with some sort of answers, inshallah. And we can give away the prize that we really need to give away. And we, once again, thanks to Jazakumullahu Khairan to MYM Auto World for sponsoring our program, as well as the quiz. Jazakumullahu Khairan, once again, may Allah reward you abundantly. To all those listeners, Jazakumullahu Khairan, request special to us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam, Adil, my brother.
Jimana, JazakAllah to all the listeners. Maybe they're listening to the show, so no one called in for the answer. Or maybe they only, what they call it, speech or hearing fright, not to talk on the radio. But inshallah, they'll come up with the answer by next
inshallah,
week.
Inshallah, JazakAllah for that, brother. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. We spoke about the Alright, we spoke about the Haram Sharif. Respect listeners, that a deadly storm has hit the Mubarak land of Makkah Mukarramah, and a crane fell over during the storm across the Safa and Marwa building of Masjid al-Haram Sharif. And like I said earlier, a portion of the crane had landed on the roof as well, and you know, many people lost their lives as the officials were picking up the bodies from the Mataf area. Many photos circulating as well, and we have some confirmation regarding how many people have lost their lives, how many injuries, and to tell us more, inshallah, we have Maulana Muhammad Dam. Maulana, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Chief Maulana, said they also that not very often we hear that there is a storm in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But after the crane has fell, earlier we heard a report from Sister Fazila Malik, and I think at that time, because of so much pandemonium going on, they couldn't really get a figure or if anyone passed away, so she said everything was fine. But now that things have cleared up a bit, we see that 65 people have passed away.
Confirmed, yeah.
And 154 people are reported injured. So we make dua that those are, that are injured, Allah grant them shifa, and those people that have passed away, definitely Allah will, inshallah, forgive them and they will get jannat.
SubhanAllah, amazing. Tawaf still continues. And yes, many people saw many becoming shaheed in front of their eyes. And may Allah forgive them, may Allah have mercy upon them, may Allah give sabr jameel to all the families, may Allah protect the Hujjah al-Karam and make the rest of the Hajj easy in incident free, inshallah. But what a Mubarak, yes, subhanAllah, in the Haram Sharif Mataf area, you know, in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the days of Hajj, Allah grant them all stages of Shuhada. Allah have mercy upon them. Alright, 4 minutes to 8 o'clock, we conclude the program. Ramasal Muhammad Khara, inshallah. Fi amanillah, have a splendid weekend. Request for du'as. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.